Are you wandering in the wilderness? Or are you a voice in the wilderness? Welcome to the Revival Cry Podcast. This is your host, Eric Miller. Isaiah 40 verse 3 says, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." The goal of this podcast is to encourage you to use the voice God has given you to make Jesus famous. Every week, we will share principles from the Word of God, interviews, and encouragement in order to strengthen your voice. Thank you for joining me today. And now here is today's podcast. So I want to talk to you about multiplication around or from us. Multiplication around or from us. You know, families multiply not because we have children, but from our children come more children. So when you have your own children, you're adding to your family. But when your children have children, you're multiplying your family. Are you with me? If we only have children, but our children do not have children, our multiplication will only be temporary, but not expanded beyond our home. In the same way, the church will never make it to Judea, Samaria, and beyond if we have no vision past Jerusalem. Right? Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power," Jesus said, "when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the day of Pentecost, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth." So nobody knew that one day Paul the Apostle was going to get saved. Nobody knew that Stephen was going to be martyred. Nobody knew that a man was going to get healed at the temple gate, beautiful. Nobody knew that persecution would come against the church in Jerusalem. But here is what Jesus told us from the beginning. You will receive power. God is not always going to tell you everything that you think you need to know, but he will always give you what you need to have. I hope you understand that. Because sometimes what you think God should let you know or should give you insight about may not be there, but the provision for what you need at the moment is always there. Amen. He promises to never leave us or forsake us. He says that through our faith, he will mature and he will bring us into a place of seeing his hand provide for us. Ken Pounders made a statement in our Power Evangelism conference that I really love. He said, "You haven't made a disciple until your disciple has made a disciple." Are you with me? You haven't made a disciple until your disciple has made a disciple. I wish that everybody would memorize that. You know why? Because if you don't feel any responsibility to make a disciple, then two things are happening. One of two things. Either we're not doing our job to make disciples, or you're not willing to make disciples because you're relying on us. Hello. That's not a rebuke. I told you that I wanted to talk about the posture of where I believe our church presently is right now. Because there is a lot of evangelism and there is a lot of discipleship going on right now. But every single person in this room, no matter how smart, no matter how much experience you have, has a responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission. Which is to go make disciples. If you call yourself a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you are responsible by the anointing of God, by the word of God. You have already been commissioned. You don't have to graduate from fire school ministry to be commissioned. If you're born again, you are already commissioned to go make disciples. The reason why people go to fire school or go through the mentor groups and the discipleship groups and the prayer groups and everything we have is because they're hungry and they want God to use them and they want to be trained to become a better disciple who is making disciples beyond ourselves. So what is apostolic succession? Apostolic succession, and this is according to a website called gotquestions.com, it says the doctrine of apostolic succession is the belief that the 12 apostles passed on their authority to successors, who then passed the apostolic authority on to their successors, continuing throughout the centuries, even to today. The Roman Catholic Church sees Peter as the leader of the apostles with the greatest authority, and therefore his successors carry on the greatest authority. The Roman Catholic Church combines this belief with the concept that Peter later became the first bishop of Rome, and that the Roman bishops that followed Peter were accepted by the early church as the central authority among all of the churches. Apostolic succession, combined with Peter's supremacy among the apostles, results in the Roman bishop being the supreme authority of the Catholic Church, which is called the Pope. Evangelicals, Protestants, do not accept the authority of the Pope. Now, I'm not here to blast the Catholic Church this morning. There's a lot I don't agree with. I think that there could be Catholics that could be born again. You know, God is merciful, amen? But I don't want to rely on just assuming and hoping that people are right with God. That's why we hold to the Word of God and to the faith that has been entrusted to us, and we preach the gospel so that people can hear the truth. Amen. What we believe the Word of God says is the truth. We don't believe in the authority of the Pope. I don't believe that Pastor Armin or myself are evangelical popes, okay? But we do believe in apostolic succession, but from a different perspective. I want you to listen to this today, because I think you're going to understand why some churches make disciples and some do not. Number one, we believe that the gift of apostleship still continues to this day. And Ephesians 4:11, I quoted it when I was praying over Pastor Armin. It says, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, and as he ascended to the right hand of the Father, he gave gifts to men. And these gifts are what we call the fivefold ministry gifts. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. Now, these gifts are not about receiving a title. When they joke and call me the intergalactic apostle, I mean, I laugh at that. It's so funny, you know, but I do not walk around as Eric Miller, the intergalactic apostle. Kiss my ring. No. We don't believe that at all. Look, I need the same blood of Jesus that everybody else needs. You need the same blood of Jesus that everybody else needs. I don't care. Look, if God raises up some of these young men and young women and they go far beyond what we do, you know what I'm going to do? Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Okay, no, we're not doing it again. Next Sunday. Okay? Maybe at Friday night, okay, when we do the meeting. But I believe that gift continues to this day. I believe why would we say we only believe in pastors, teachers, and evangelists, but not apostles and prophets? Part of the reason why we don't is because there's so many people out there making that gift about them. Yeah. And look, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what our title is. It just matters that we function the way God's called us to. Amen? The original apostles of the Lamb will never be replaced or added to. I'm talking about that, why we believe an apostolic succession from a different perspective. First of all, we believe the gift of apostleship is still in function. But then secondly, we believe that the apostles of the Lamb, which are the 12 original apostles without Judas, replaced with Matthias. Matthias got a really good deal. I mean, we don't know much about him, but he got in, and now he's considered one of the original 12 that will never be replaced and never be added to. The book of Revelation said they have this seat of authority in the New Jerusalem. You can read it yourself in Revelation 21:14. It doesn't mean they're better than everybody. But again, we believe apostleship continues, right? Apostle Paul was not one of the 12. The Apostle Timothy was not one of the 12. I'm not here to just defend the gift of apostleship. If you want to learn about that, you can enroll this August at Fire School of Ministry. I'm actually teaching a class right now called Apostolic Church, and I've really enjoyed teaching it. But here's my point, is that even in Christ's body, because he is the head and we are part of the body, we are apostolic because we are, apostolic means to be sent, right? To be like an emissary, to be like an ambassador. You are an ambassador of Christ, amen? So that's why we believe apostolic succession continues. What we don't believe is that there is an apostle that is called a pope that is above everybody, and everybody else is beneath him and beneath the priests and the bishops and the cardinals and all these people, and that they have an in-between, listen to me, they have an in-between mediating relationship with God that you and I don't have. I don't believe that at all. There is one mediator between God and man, the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's not any other name except Jesus. Catholics believe that the church can only grow through certain leaders, like the Pope. Instead of developing and sending leaders, Catholics put too much emphasis upon the spiritual leader or the head of the church. So much so that it becomes dangerous when you do that. They now have a Pope, Francis, who is giving a thumbs up to homosexuals being accepted into the Catholic Church. Let me tell you, that's wrong. Why? Because he is not above the Word of God. And I don't care what his opinion is. And this is why we need a multitude of leaders, not just one person. The only one person we need is Jesus, because he's perfect and he has never sinned. Ultimately, the Pope devalued, the Pope's title, responsibility, devalues Jesus as the head of the church by becoming a mediator. Most Catholics believe they cannot have a relationship with God like other leaders do. When we devalue our apostolic calling as the body, we follow men who build buildings and ministries but do not build people. Because we do not have a vision to see people raised up and sent out. What we have a vision for is that I'm the man of God, right? I have this authority, and because of this, everybody should surround me. That is not biblical. What is biblical is we surround the church about the head, which is Jesus. That's why Jesus tells us that humility and servanthood should be the characteristics of godly leadership. If that's not there, then we're trying to take praise from the one that we're singing about. Should the church be focused on people multiplication or leadership multiplication? I would say both. But most places just focus on people multiplication. You know why?
Because the more people that I can have coming to church, the more that Eric Miller and Pastor Armin Valdez looks awesome. Hello. Look, I love that we have a full house. I love that we worship and we enjoy the presence of God together. But there is no way that I can stand up here, and I know Pastor Armin Lebo as well and Buddy Monette, that we're going to stand up here and take anything from Jesus. There's no way. And if we should ever do that, go find another church. I don't think you have to be afraid of that, because we're not going to be perfect all the time, but what we will be is trying to do our best to understand the Word of God. Amen. I have no desire to raise up the next Eric Miller or someone to take my place. Nobody will take my place, because there will never be another Eric Miller. There will never be another Pastor Armin. There will never be another you. You are uniquely created by God. Your personality, your gifts, your experiences, where you came from, how you grew up, how you understand the scriptures, all of these things make you the unique individual that you are. Why would we try? Why do we try constantly in the church to replace leaders all the time when God can do something so much more unique than what we can do? My goal, and I know it's the goal of this leadership, is to plant seeds, water seeds of leadership. Everybody say leadership. So that unique callings are heard by the ears of those who we minister to. Look, I'm okay with having systematic ways to disciple people. That's what we have at Fire School. That's what we do with our children's ministry. That's what we do in the discipleship groups, because we want to teach line upon line, precept upon precept, right? We want to teach people to know that the Word of God is a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their pathway. And some of these things you will hear 100 times before you get it. And I'm not saying that we don't get it sometimes because we're not paying attention. But the place of maturity level that we are at affects our patterns of thinking, and our experiences sometimes dictate what we want to hear and what we don't want to hear. But the point of this is saying that we want you to hear the voice of God. I want you to know the Word of God. I was not here the Sunday that Gerald shared here, but I have heard so much, so many people who were so blessed by the Word and him sharing his heart. I thought there's nobody else who could have done that except Gerald. And you've heard me speak 100 times, maybe a few more. Pastor, all these other people, and we'll continue to do what's in our heart to do. But ultimately, I would love to sit down more the older I get and listen to great hunger and thirst and zeal coming from some of you that are saying, I'm spending time with Jesus, and I believe God's called me to do this and that. Look, you can hear from God. Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. Amen. And let me say, the primary way that we hear from God is his Word. I believe that God still speaks to us today, but he's not going to speak to us out of the context of his Word. Dependency upon leaders produces no life or responsibility. Let me say long-term dependency, okay? Because like our kids, we have 2 left out of the 5 that are home still, 13, 16. They still depend on us. And even our kids, to some level and degree, will depend on us, but not the same way as when they were infants or toddlers, right? Or adolescents. As they grow and mature, they learn responsibility. If you go to the church and you're still an infant in the faith, and you've been here for 10, 20 years, my friend, I'm going to tell you this in love. It's time to grow up. It's time to mature as a disciple. Do you know how much joy I have every time I hear Albert singing that song? Yeah. I remember when he was this little itty bitty Albert. Hi, Sir Eric. It's a long time ago. Watching him grow up through the feeding program, watching him press through the challenges in his life that he faced and becoming the man of God who he is. Let me tell you, that is discipleship. And let me also say that it's not only Eric and Casey who's poured in Albert. A lot of you and others have poured into him and helped him to become the man of God that he is today and is still becoming. Amen? Amen? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I greatly encourage. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, like because you have to, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords or controlling over those entrusted to you, but by being examples to the flock. That is leadership. Paul is saying, if you're in an eldership role, if you have a responsibility to shepherd the flock of God, you are not to make it all about you. You are to make it about Christ, teach people how to hear his voice, value integrity and character, grow in maturity, and as you grow, we will see you flourish and bloom where God has planted you. A man named Clarence L. Hayes said this: pastors and leaders in the church don't obtain those positions by apostolic succession, but by calling. It is God who appoints, and there is no apostolic succession required. You know, God tomorrow could raise up one of you to be the pastor of this church or another church if he wanted to. Why? Because he's God. Yeah. Now, I believe that he's not just going to push people out unless they're not living a life devoted to holiness and purity like we were singing about this morning. And even then, God warns people and wants people to repent. He doesn't want to just throw people away. But we see so many leaders in our circles, in our networks, and things like that, where people are falling in the sin left and right. And when we say falling, I'm not saying they fell in it by accident. When we sin, we do it knowingly. Deliberately. We really do. And see, the Lord wants us to understand that if we will value our relationship with him, that he will empower us to do what is impossible for us to do in the flesh by being a disciple of Christ. You've heard me quote this guy many times, Mike Statura. He said, the greatness of a church is not its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. Friend, I told you before, so many churches are satisfied with growing a big church in Jerusalem. Do you know the last time they did that in 2,000 years ago, what God did? He allowed persecution because they did not obey the voice of God to go to Judea, Samaria, to ends of the earth. So God, because he loved the church and he was happy that they were enjoying the revival, the purpose of revival is to do missions. Yeah. Is to go evangelize, make disciples, fulfill the Great Commission. You may not ever leave DeVal City. You may be called right here, and that's totally fine. But I want to encourage you, if God's calling you to go to Ireland or to go to Brazil, look, we all smile and we laugh, you know, about, oh, I want to go travel one day. Friend, that's not what I'm talking about. Do you know that we are foreigners on this earth? Yeah. So as much as you say, I'm Filipino, the fact is you're a citizen of heaven. This world is not your home. And God has called you and me to evangelize it and make disciples. That might mean you might go somewhere else, but whether you do or you don't, the Lord wants you to be fulfilling his purposes for your life. So how do simple local churches become sending churches? Well, we have to focus on intimacy with the Lord, personal intimacy and corporate intimacy. We have to focus on raising up leaders around us, but even more from us, right? That's the title of this message, multiplication, around us or from us. It's really not difficult to grow a big church around you if you make yourself the focus, and if you have the charisma, if you have the financial support, if you have all the right things that need to be said to draw, to tickle people's itching ears. Listen, I am so happy. We were at a church this past week that this church has about 6,000 people connected to it. It's amazing. But they focus on discipleship, and that's not why I'm bringing this message. I'm not in a comparison thing. I don't think you can compare to church just like you can't compare families. Because we all, again, have different personalities, experience, characteristics, gifts, and we have to grow up in the way that God's called us to. But we do have to ask ourselves a question. Are we doing what God's asked us to do individually and corporately? Because if God has called you to be a part of this body, it's not just to sing the Praise the Lord song on Sundays. And as much as I love to do it and I enjoy the freedom, and we have young men and young women that are new here and growing in the Lord and stuff like that, we want them to know that there is a greater purpose that God has for their life. The purpose is not just to go to church on Sunday, my friend. It's to be an evangelist. It's to be whatever God's called you to be. It's called to go make disciples where you are, at the age where you are. You do not have to make disciples only after you're 20 or 30 years old. You got to do it now. Seriously. Why don't you have that vision? As a young man, as a young woman, let me ask you, elderly folks, are you pouring into the next generation? I love the fact that I believe Pastor Armin's mom is leading this group of, what's it called? The I know they're adults. Grown-ups, is that the name of the group? What's the name of it? Grown up. Okay, I was told it's grown up from a grown up. Seriously, I love that. You know why? Yes, they have a lot in common. Yes, there's a lot of things that we like to be around groups of people that are around the same age and experience, right? Nothing wrong with that. But what about the generation younger than you? What about the people around you? Are you willing to step out from where you are? Let me finish this up. Acts 6, verses 1 through 7. Let me just read this scripture. It says, now in those days, when the number of disciples, this is after the day of Pentecost, right? When the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. Who were Hellenists? Greeks. Greeks who were what? Jews? Or Greek-speaking? Greek believers. I think they were Greek-speaking Jews, but were believers. Because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution, they were prioritizing the gospel first to the Jew and not to the Gentile, right? That was from the beginning. Then the 12 summoned a multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable the 12 apostles of the Lamb, right? It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. They're not saying it's beneath us to serve people. We're saying in order to serve the greater body as it's growing, we have to be men and women of prayer and the word. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So what's happening here? They're saying, look, why should we continue to do everything when we should be doing this most important thing, prayer and the word, when we have qualified people that can do these things and do them well? I believe this is where our church is right now. I really do. And it might be a prolonged period, but I believe there are so many leaders that are coming up now, people taking ownership and responsibility. And there's outreaches in Barbara on campuses and workplaces and amongst different groups in Agdow and other places. People want to take missions trips to Cambodia and things like that. And I'm not the one coming up with the ideas. I love it. And I know they're not coming up with all the ideas. In fact, you have a pastor that is doing what's in his heart now with the Four Square Farming. I love that. Amen. Amen. You say, oh, maybe some of you are thinking, well, I don't know if I love that because I want things the way that they were. I love you, but that's called religion. What are you talking about? I'm saying if we always stay, if Hannah and David are always going to be 13 and 16 and never grow beyond that place, that's going to look kind of funny, right? When they're 30 years old, depending on mom and dad, right? Too old. And then it says that pleased the whole multitude, they chose several men. And the apostles prayed and laid hands on them. And listen what it says in verse 7. Then the word of God spread. And the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. See, the Lord knew that the church was going to be unwilling to grow or to move outside of Jerusalem. But he also knew that he needed to grow the church in Jerusalem so that when the time was right for them to go, there would be leaders ready to go. Let's go on. We're almost done. You know, when we became a part of Maranatha, we were pastoring a church in this building for several years. There were two other places, Mr. DIY. We had 3 floors there. Every time I go there, I laugh like I remember what was on that floor, you know? And then we moved down to a bodega, which we used to call the first church of the holy oven because it was so hot in there all the time. It was very hot. Yeah, if you were not on fire, you would get on fire over there. Even if you were in sin, you were on fire. The fire of hell. No, I'm just kidding. But it was so hot. And I never felt called to be a pastor. And I always felt like I was going to start a church, raise up a Filipino, and then move out of the way. And it never happened. And I was so frustrated. And then the Lord started giving us a vision to start Fire School Ministry. You've heard me share some of this. I did not feel qualified to do that. I needed encouragement. I needed help to know that God was calling me to do that. And so the Lord not only brought us to Maranatha to use us, but he used Maranatha to encourage us. And so what's happened is now we have 39, 38 other churches, I guess. We have Fire School Ministry. We have multiple graduates that are out doing works in different places, some pioneering, some working with local churches, some working with missionaries, some working in this church. I look at that and I say, this is always where we wanted to be, but I didn't know how to get there. And it was frustrating. But yet now we see the Lord doing these things and multiple leaders growing up, and we see leaders not just around us, but going from us. I believe, I don't know if you talked about this before, but I think you did, that there is a real Joseph anointing on our pastor. There is. I believe God is teaching him things about shepherding the church, about serving the greater body of Christ, helping people to be sustained spiritually and physically. And I it's amazing the doors have opened. Again, it shocks me that we have an Israeli consulate here in Davao. This is Mindanao. But yet God is doing something that seemed impossible. But nothing is impossible, because he said, my church will go and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If ministry centers around the pastor, then we're not developing leaders, we're developing followers. Filipino culture teaches you how to follow really well. Because from the early beginnings of this country, you were taught this authority. Apostolic succession according to the Catholic Church. Again, I'm not blasting. I'm simply saying that a lot of the way the culture was trained to not be a leader, but to listen to those who had authority over you. And while I believe in submitting to authority, I believe there's always an authority above that authority. And he's the one who calls the shots. I believe God called us here not to become famous revivalists, preachers, missionaries, whatever you want to say, but to raise up Filipino leaders. That is what we want to see. We want to see you go far above and beyond where God has brought you to at this point. Exodus 17, and we're going to close with this. Exodus 17, verses 8 through 16. Familiar passage. It says, now Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hands, that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became weary. So they took a stone and put it under him to sit on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Joshua, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. That was something he had said before. While Joshua, who represents the next generation, is on the front lines fighting, it is essential that Moses, who represents pastors, leaders, are giving themselves to prayer and the word. Some, like Moses, are called to lead. Some, like Joshua, are called to pioneer. Some, like Aaron and Hur, are called to helps. But all are called to serve. I want to close with an article about Saint Patrick, because I believe his story is very inspiring, especially to where we are. There are pioneers in this room that are going to take the gospel outside of Davao, into Mindanao, outside of Mindanao, into the Philippines. I already said, if you have ears, you'll hear. Don't go blind against what the Lord says in his word, and don't go deaf because it's not what you want to hear. Listen, because I believe the Lord is speaking. So the question is, was St. Patrick an apostle? The title of this article is Apostle of Ireland, St. Patrick, Life and Ministry. Despite the grave threat of martyrdom during his roughly 30 years of ministry, St. Patrick preserved and experienced enormous success. On this day, March 17, we commemorate the death of St. Patrick in the year 461. Although he is the most celebrated saint, both inside and outside of Christendom, little has been left to the records of history about a man known as the Apostle of Ireland. One of the earliest accounts we have from the Venerable Bede, I'm not sure what that is, in his Ecclesiastical History of the English People, one of the first notable names to appear is Patrick, a Briton born in 389 to a Christian deacon and minor town official named Calpurnius. Patrick is captured by Irish pirates at the age of 16. Brought back to Ireland, made a slave, and forced to work as a herdsman for 6 years. At the end of the 6 years, Patrick receives a dream where he sees a boat by which he can escape. Inspired, he flees to the coast, miraculously finds a ship, sails home. After a brief second captivity, he is reunited with his family and begins to study as a priest under Saint Germanius of Auxerre. While many consider Patrick to be the first missionary to Ireland, this is not the case. Under the direction of Pope Celestine, the first missionary effort in Ireland was undertaken by a man named Palladius. His efforts ended almost as soon as they began due to his untimely death. Shortly after Palladius' death, Patrick had another dream. Recorded in his confession, in the dream, a man named Victoricus delivers to him a letter entitled The Voice of the Irish. As he reads, this is a dream he's having. He feels summoned by the Irish people to return to the place where he was a slave and preach the gospel of Christ to them. By this time, around 430, he was already ordained a bishop of the church, was sent to Ireland. Unfortunately, at this part of the story, history has a legend begins to run together. It appears that Patrick focused his missionary efforts initially on tribal leadership. He even established territorial bishoprics with his see arma. I'm not sure what that means. Legend claims that Patrick's first encounter with the Druidic chieftain almost ended in his death. By divine intervention, Patrick survives and is able to convert the chieftain. From here, he slowly went south all the way, preaching, baptizing the gospel to the Pict tribes. During this time, according to a 7th century legend, he drove all the snakes out of Ireland into the sea, into the watery doom. These same legends record that he used the iconic shamrock to teach on the mystery of the Trinity. During his ministry, Patrick also claimed to raise the dead. Indeed, some 12th century legends claimed that St. Patrick raised 33 people from the dead, even people who were dead for a long period of time. Despite the grave threat of martyrdom during his roughly 30 years of ministry, he persevered and experienced enormous success. Anyhow, it goes on and on. It goes on to say that reports vary, but it seems that Patrick planted several hundred churches, baptized possibly over 100,000 people. His influence continued after his death with the end of the slave trade and a decrease of violent crimes. You say, why do you take time to read that? Because there was a guy who did not know he could be a leader. This was a man who was a slave. Twice. Here was a guy who nobody would have called and commissioned and sent out, but God had a plan for his life. Can I encourage you with something? God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for you to fulfill, whether it be in the Philippines, whether it be in India, whether it be in Japan, whether it be in the United States, whether it be in Russia, whether it be in Africa. Who's going to go? Listen, we don't want to just raise up leaders from around us. I'm believing that some of these young men from BARPA that some of you have been reaching out to, you know what? Some of them will go through fire school ministry and be sent out. They're thinking, what are you talking about? Hey, we all feel that way. Nobody's forcing anybody into anything. Amen? But I want to tell you, there are gifts of leadership in this room. Multiple gifts. Multiple callings. And it's going to start with you not comparing yourself to everybody else. But you humbling yourself before God and saying, Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me. What about now? Are you allowing the Lord to use you now? It's not just when you get older. It's now. God has a calling for you now. A purpose for you now. Lord, I'm so grateful for this church body. And Lord, as we celebrate Pastor Armin's birthday today with him, Lord, we're celebrating people who've poured into our lives. And Lord, I believe the greatest present we can give them is our willingness to say, here I am, Lord. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. Listen, today, maybe you're listening to me and you're thinking, I don't know what this guy's talking about. Well, I want you to know, my friend, that God has a plan for your life. And that there's sin that separates you from God. Sin is anything that Jesus wouldn't do. And it keeps you from filling God's plan. And it keeps you in depression. It keeps you in hopelessness. It makes you think that you can never do what somebody else is doing. But God wants you to know that Jesus wants to live in you so that you can agree and say that greater is he who's in me than he that's in the world. He has a purpose. He has a plan for your life. If you don't know the Lord today, and you need forgiveness, and you say, I'm not sure if I died tonight, if I would go to heaven. If you know that you need forgiveness and that you need to get right with God, you've not repented of sin, then I want to start here today because this is the first step to you fulfilling the call of God upon your life. And you'll never know what God's calling is unless you humble yourself and listen to him when he is calling to you right now. If you need forgiveness today, I'm just going to say, I want to invite you to come up here and make a bold statement. Look, St. Patrick, he was a slave. There were probably multiple times that he could have died. There were probably multiple times that he wanted to give up, that he didn't know if his family would support him or anybody else cared. But he knew that God was calling him, and he followed the Lord. And because he followed the Lord, What happened? 100,000 people came to know Jesus. Several hundred churches were planted, all because one man chose to give himself to the Lord. What about you today? Listen, if you need forgiveness, if you need to get saved, to give your life to Jesus, I want to make this quick. But if you need forgiveness and you want to come, I want you to come up here. We want to pray with you. Just come up here right in front of me here. And I know this is a bold thing to do. And I know the majority of you here today, that you sense the calling of God upon your life. And you say, I want to be a disciple. I'm tired of just being a believer. I want to give myself to discipleship. I want to give myself in evangelism and giving my heart over to winning my generation to Christ. Look, if that's you and you're saying, Eric, I know I need to be functioning more as a disciple rather than a believer. If that's you, I want you to come up here too and to say, Lord, I want to obey the convictions of my heart. I don't want to lag behind you. I want to keep in step with your Holy Spirit. And I want to follow hard after you, God. Come on. If that's you, come on. If you need forgiveness or if you need to dedicate yourself to the calling of discipleship that God has placed upon your life, I want you to come. Praise God. Come on. Anybody else? Come. What's the Lord saying to you? And I'm not saying that coming up here today, and if you guys could just move forward a little bit. I'm not saying if you come up here today that everything's going to happen overnight. It's not. This is a lifelong decision, commitment, that we're giving ourselves over to the Lord and saying, Father, I want to follow your will. I want to give myself to you. Who knows what God would do with your life? I'm looking at a bunch of history makers this morning. I'm looking at people that without Jesus were nothing, but with Christ we could do all things through him who gives us strength. And as you're coming up here, I want you to just talk to the Lord and dedicate yourself to him. If you need forgiveness, ask for forgiveness and be specific. Lord, forgive me for whatever it is that you've done. It could be lying. It could be stealing. It could be lust. It could be pornography. It could be all kinds of things. What is it? Lord, forgive me. And Lord, I don't want to just be a believer. I want to be a disciple. Come on. Tell him what that means to you. You talk to Jesus. He's the one. He's our great apostle. Amen. He's the one who's the greatest authority. He's the head of his church. He's the one who's saying, look, if you'll just hear my voice, my sheep hear my voice. I promise you that I'm going to speak into your life. I'm going to train you to be godly. I'm going to help you learn how to be a man or a woman after my own heart. I'm going to teach you how to walk away from this world, turn your back on it, and set your eyes towards heaven, to fix your eyes upon Jesus, to give yourself fully over to him. Praise God. Lord, we dedicate ourselves to you today. We dedicate ourselves to fulfilling the Great Commission. We dedicate ourselves, God, to being focused on making Jesus famous. We lay our lives down before you, Jesus, and we want to pick up the banner and say, the Lord is our banner. We want to lift our hands up. We want to win the victory, God, not only in our own lives, but in our families, in our barangay, in our city, in this nation. We want to be victorious, God, because you make us victorious. The blood that you shed for us, Jesus, has empowered us and given us grace, Lord, to walk with authority, authority to love, authority to serve, authority to care, to show mercy. Lord, to pour out our hearts, God, the way that you poured out your soul. In the name of Jesus, Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Empower us with destiny and purpose. In the name of Jesus, come on, reach out to the Lord today, friend. Reach out to him. He's the one who needs to touch you. He's the one who's calling you. He's the one who's releasing grace upon your life. You're going to look back at some of you at these days and remember the wonders of the Lord. You're going to remember how good God was to you, how faithful He was to you. And you're going to tell stories. You're going to tell testimonies. You're going to sense greater destiny and purpose on your life. Lord, I give myself over to you, Jesus. Have your way in my life, Lord. I give myself to you, Jesus. Come on. Give Him your marriage. Give Him your children. Lord Jesus, you said those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. God, that's what you told us in coming here. In Jesus' name, use them, God. Empower them, Lord. Release your kingdom in and through their lives. Oh, Jesus. Lord, next time we sing Praise the Lord, that song, I pray, Lord, that we would sing it from the very depths of our soul, remembering how good you've been, how faithful you've been. And we look at what you've done and where you've brought us from, and we remember the wonders of the Lord. Lord, we want to be disciples who make disciples. Lord, release, Lord, such a passion to evangelize. Such a passion, Lord, to win souls and make disciples. Such a love, Jesus, for your presence, for your name to be glorified. We want to give everything to you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for apostolic succession that comes because of the blood of Jesus that's been shed abroad in our hearts. Oh, we worship you. Lord, I pray for wisdom as leaders in the church, that we would have a vision for leaders to be sent out to go from us, Lord. Lord, that more churches would be planted, that more businesses would be established, that more families and more marriages would be based on the word of God, upon intimacy, God. Lord, that more small groups, Lord, would be developed, more leaders raised up, God. That's it. Just give yourself to the Lord in prayer right now. Father, you see, Lord. You see these hearts. We're not going to prop ourselves up and make ourselves better than anybody else. We humble ourselves before you today. Lord, forgive us if we've made ministry or anything about us. We want Jesus to be glorified. Let that anointing that was on St. Patrick, Lord, be upon everybody in this room today. In the name of Jesus. A sense of destiny and purpose. Calling. This is so good. Listen, God's hearing you today. He sees. He knows. He understands where you are. He understands impossible situations. Some of you, your testimonies are going to speak to hundreds and thousands of people. Others, you might only speak to smaller groups, but you might speak to somebody in that small group that might go change the world. If we're not trying to make the ministry about us, then God will use us. Oh, God. Just stay in the presence of the Lord. He's here. Come on, Lord. Release dreams and visions, God. Release insight and revelation, wisdom beyond our experience, God. That we would see and do things what we see you doing. Lord, give us business ideas. Give us understanding how to do things that are beyond us. We want it to be miraculous. We want people to look and say, wow, look at what the Lord's done. Because we want you to get the glory, Jesus. Yeah. Maybe some here will teach that four-square farming one day, God. Take it far above and beyond. Maybe somebody else will lead Fire School of Ministry one day. Ooh. Raise up more leaders in the youth ministry. Raise up more workers, God. Look, you could be a missionary and be a businessman or woman. You could be a missionary and be a mechanic. You could be a missionary and be a teacher. You could be a missionary. Everybody's called to be a missionary. It doesn't matter what your role is. You could be a stay-at-home mom and be a missionary. And pour your life out for your kids. And teach other moms how to do what you've learned to do. And maybe one of you will raise up the next Billy Graham one day. Why not? Let's just pray one last prayer. Lord, as a church body, we ask for insight, for wisdom, for grace to go beyond where we have been and where we are. Not just to be successful, Lord, but to be impactful for your kingdom. Lord, we want to expand and enlarge the place of our tent to the north, south, east, and west. Lord, we ask, Lord, for just the ability to do things above and beyond where we have been, and that you would take us there, Lord, and that we would step out in faith. And as disciples of yours, Lord, we want to expand and we want to see people send out in the name of Jesus. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Proud of you guys. Listen, guys, let's plan to take the next step, okay? Let's be at the prayer meetings. Let's be at the small group gatherings. Let's do whatever we need to do to train ourselves. Maybe some of you are being called to go to Fire School of Ministry starting in August. I believe God's calling people, and it might be a sacrifice, but I know this, you'll never regret it, and whatever God calls you to do, amen.
Thank you for listening to Revival Cry with Eric Miller. Please subscribe, rate, and write a review for this podcast on iTunes, cpnshows.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. To find out more or partner with our missions work around the world, please visit us at revivalcry.org. I look forward to being with you next week.